Hey, y'all. It's me, Jess Bubico, and I am excited to be here with you on the Waking Up with Jess podcast. Each week, I'll invite you to wake up to your inner knowingness, get creative, and march to the beat of your own drum in your business and life. We'll dive into different subject areas from business to health to work, relationships, and beyond. On the podcast, we'll get raw, honest, and real, keeping it a little bit personal, a little bit educational, and most importantly, we're going to have a lot of fun. Each episode, you'll feel like you're sitting down at a coffee shop having an intimate conversation with a few of your best friends. Join me each week as I act as your confidant and friend who loves the heck out of you and wants to see you shine. Come along and wake up with a cup of Jess. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed last week's podcast episode with Jenny Crowther. We had a lot of fun deep diving into the transits, and I have gotten a ton of amazing feedback from all of you. Jenny is exceptionally gifted in talking about and sharing about the transits. If you're new to it, if you felt a little bit overwhelmed, perhaps if you're just starting to get into human design, don't worry, it will start to make sense over time if you stick with it and just allow yourself to continue opening your mind to this information. Because when we look at human design in general, human design is a language in and of itself. Now you're like, oh, I'm a manifestor. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I think I have this. You're literally using a brand new language to describe energy, right? We don't have a ton of words and vocabulary to describe energy in this sort of new way. So give yourself time and then give yourself space to let it start to percolate and sink in. And if it doesn't call to you right now, you can always come back to it at a different time. But for my new listeners here who are new to human design, that would be my personal recommendation. For everybody who's well-versed on the human design train, thank you for all of your amazing messages. Yeah, I just really appreciate you guys. So with that being said, we'll be back at the beginning of end of March, beginning of April with the next transit podcast. So stay tuned for that. I want to talk to you today about this concept of redefining work. And I'm going to share with you the five biggest lessons that I have learned from being an entrepreneur over the last 5 years. Whether you're an entrepreneur or not, I want to talk about this in the context of business and work in general, because business and work is changing and shifting and evolving. I think many of us, I can speak from my experience, kind of leapt out of the frying pan, wanting to leave corporate, wanting to leave our jobs as they were, because we were feeling a sense of like, this isn't aligned. This isn't working. Like, I feel like my soul is being ripped out of my body, having to sort of show up in a specific situation every day where I feel like I can't fully be myself, or I don't really believe in what I'm doing, but it pays me well, like the golden handcuffs, right? So I think a lot of us in my generation of people moving into solo entrepreneurship, we kind of jumped out being like, this doesn't work. So now I have to create a new path. And there's so many things I have learned about business and work and understanding yourself and where I personally think work is headed over the coming years. And so I want to share those five big learning lessons with you, as well as share some information into understanding the role that you came here to play in work. Because I think, I could be wrong here, I think the reason why so many of us leapt out of corporate environment into entrepreneurship was because we didn't, we wanted a sense of freedom. We wanted a sense of meaning in our work. We wanted to be able to create personal prosperity. We want fulfillment. And I think most of us want to feel like we're making a positive contribution to the world. And with there being, just so many interesting, I'll just say this, so many interesting practices and dynamics within a corporate space, I think that, it's no wonder so many of us felt that way. But I want to share with you the lessons I've learned, how they apply to you in work. If you're somebody who is listening to this, who is dissatisfied in your work life and you're thinking you want to leap into entrepreneurship, I hope this benefits you. For people who are entrepreneurs who are not quite sure what their next step is, I hope this benefits you. But I'd like to share my perspectives. And I'll just say before I get into my five biggest lessons that I learned from being in the entrepreneurial space, is that one of the ways I think so many of us leapt out of corporate and into doing our own thing was through coaching and the coaching industry and the personal development space. And I think a lot of people over the years have been burned by the coaching space, feeling, I know for me, last year was, I mean, I've shared with you guys on the podcast, last year was really tough because I was questioning a lot of what I had learned and where things are going in the industry. And so I did a lot of deep thinking and a lot of deep feeling and a lot of deep processing because I often felt like, you know, there's certain ways that I saw work or entrepreneurship that I are maybe go against the grain of what we've been taught in the entrepreneur space. And so I always brought a message of like, you can do things differently, which I believe and I still believe, and I'm going to share today. But I think I felt very discouraged and a little bit disillusioned by how a lot of the industry has been run. And feeling like I'm sharing a message I believe in, but I don't necessarily know that it fits in this space. And I want to encourage people to slow down and to get intentional and to stop rushing things and pushing, which is a lot of, I think, what's challenges us in the Western world is this constant desire to push and move and force and get to the top of the mountain. But when you look at nature, that's not how nature grows. You know, nature, it blooms over time. And there are times when you look outside, when I lived in the Northeast, I'd look outside and it suddenly went from winter to full spring, and all the flowers were blooming, and you know, nature was just in full bloom. But we are nature, and I think that a lot of the practices out there for me didn't really give me space to evolve. It was like I have to go from zero to six figures in 5 minutes, you know, 5 minutes or less. But I think what I've learned, so when I was in that space last year of feeling really disillusioned in many ways, I think what I learned is there actually is very much a space and a need for the way in which I see things, because people are burned out and they're tired and they're feeling maybe not successful as a result of, you know, industry standards. But my what I've realized, and again, I talk about my friend Amanda Foley on here a lot. So Amanda, if you're listening, hey, you know, through a lot of our talks and our conversations, we've really started to understand like that this is really just a function of how we're changing it as society, you know, how we're growing, how we're expanding, how we're changing, how work is changing. Because I think a lot of the things that we the ways we've been pushing and trying to make things happen, I think many of them are driven by this need to be seen and this need to be validated and this need to feel like we're enough that has been deeply, deeply, deeply ingrained in us since we've been in school, right? If you don't, I can remember a certain particular someone in my life when I was in elementary school. This particular someone was in middle school and failed a class. And it was like the end of the world, you know, not just for this person, but for this person's parents and teachers. And, right, like, oh, we might get punished because we failed a class or this or that. And so we've just been unconsciously conditioned into this, I have to do bigger, I have to do more, I have to do better. I have to be seen. I have to succeed, which is not a bad thing. It's really not. But what I'm starting to see is humans, society, like we are an ecosystem that is meant to work together in order to co-create together versus this sort of individualistic, I have to get to the top of the mountain. It has to be me. I have to make the most money. It really is a collective we. Even if we don't see it, even the people who are saying I have to push to the top of the mountain, even they're in a collective we. You know, I couldn't be here recording this podcast right now if somebody hadn't created an Apple computer, if somebody hadn't created a microphone, if the electricity in my building was not on. Ooh, I dropped my pen if you heard that. If the electricity wasn't on, if the internet wasn't working, if AT&T didn't exist, like we do not exist in silos. And so I think the answer, and I've been saying this for like years now at this point, is like the coming back together, the symbiosis, and understanding that we are an ecosystem that is here to support each other and to grow. And so it's our invitation, it is our time to move from that conditioning that has been ingrained in us since we have gone into school and probably before that in generations past, from I have to be the one in power, I have to be the leader, I have to be the one that gets ahead, into there's space for all of us to prosper. And when I am living my piece of the puzzle and I am living my design and I'm doing the work that I came here to do in the world, I fit perfectly into an ecosystem to help collectively make this world a better place, which again is why I think so many of us felt stress and pressure inside of the corporate space. Because a lot of the corporate space is about we need to be the best and get ahead, right? And oftentimes that's at the cost of the environment or whatever it may be. And there's lots of beautiful things about corporate as well, right? But we're evolving. It's not, that's what we needed at the time, but we are now shifting and we are evolving. And we are, as we move, for those who know human design, as we move from the right angle cross of planning, which is all about creating these structures in society and, the 37 and the 40, we push to get ahead, divine will, or just will in general, so that we can finally rest. We're now coming into this right angle cross of the sleeping phoenix, which is who am I as an individual? And then how do I then fit into the grand scheme of things in the bigger picture? So with that being said, I'm going to share my five biggest lessons that I've learned from being in this entrepreneurial space that I hope will benefit you, whether you are in a traditional job or you are an entrepreneur. And I'm going to share a little bit about understanding the role you play in business. I will say I just launched a hybrid prosperity sequence study group meets human design, meets self-inquiry, meets community support program. It's 6 weeks called Work. And we're going to be exploring your piece of the puzzle, how to create meaning and fulfillment in your work. That might be that you want to be the person who pushes to the top, but that also may mean that you are the kind of person who actually wants more collaboration or community or partnership, or wants to be able to use your creative wisdom, in the working space, or maybe you really want to use your love of systems or whatever it may be. So the intention is to help you understand what is your puzzle piece? What's your zone of genius? Create a space for you to discover that through self-study. Start to get clear on who you are and what you want, what your values are, and then start to understand some clear action steps that you can take. Because one of the things that I'm hearing a lot from people is their brains are defaulting from, I either work a corporate job or I become an entrepreneur in the coaching space, because that's what we've been modeled. But my intention, or maybe not even in the coaching space, but maybe I have to be an entrepreneur. But with the way that the world is shifting, there are more options than I think our brains think that they are. So my hope, my intention through this group is to help you discover, again, your zone of genius. What does it look like and mean to you? What creates meaning and fulfillment for you in your work, versus just the models we've already seen. And so it invites our brains to get creative and to be thinking in different ways. So I'll be blending the prosperity sequence with aspects of human design, with self-inquiry. And like I said, lots of space. We need space to talk through things, especially I find, with women. Like, we need space to process, we need space to talk, we need space for someone to reflect back to us what they might be hearing us say that we might not be hearing ourselves say fully, things like that. So there's going to be a lot of space for community connection, collaboration, and support. So I hope that you will join me for this class. There is a discount code until Friday the 8th. I'm doing a very short window of when this like releasing this class. So there's a discount code and a bonus class. We're actually going to be diving into the lens of like our patterns with money through the lens of the gene keys. I just recently learned about this and it blew my mind. It doesn't have to do with I have a belief from my dad or whomever. It's actually like, what's the pattern in our DNA that often like blocks us off from money and abundance or creates a distortion in our relationship with it? So it's not like a solve all your money problems tomorrow kind of like feeling. It's actually start to gain some awareness around the ways in which you maybe distort your relationship and interactions with money. And once you have that awareness, you can start to shift it and change it. So, okay, let's get into the five biggest lessons that I have learned from being in the entrepreneurial space. So, the first lesson that I have learned is that business is a team sport. And I just talked about this a little bit, but when I first came into the coaching space or the personal development space, whatever term you might want to use, I never really considered myself necessarily a coach. But when I came into sort of the online personal development, healing, wellness space, one of the things that I saw a lot of people selling were packages and programs to learn how to do all of the aspects of your business. So if I was a creative entrepreneur, let's say I was a somebody who wanted to, I saw this the other day. This was cool. This woman who sells sourdough bread, she paints it. I don't know what her name is, but shout out to her. She paints sourdough bread. She's not turning it into a business, it sounds like, but it was mesmerizing. It would be like teaching her how to market, advertise, write copy, build a sales funnel. And so what ended up happening, like I joined a program back in the day because I just didn't know, right? It's a learning lesson. And I don't think many of these people who were selling these programs really knew for themselves either. And I will say, in the beginning of your business, I do think it's important that you learn all pieces and aspects of the business because if you have someone who leaves, you need to be able to step in and do it on your own. But thinking about this from a time and energy perspective, and if we believe in human design, that each of us has a zone of genius, and when we're not in that zone of genius, our energy often feels tired. It doesn't make sense to me that you would want to learn how to do all of those things. It makes sense to me that you would learn the basics to get yourself to a certain point in order to then hire people to do those things for you. Because if I'm trying to figure out how to make a website and how to set up a sales funnel and produce my podcast and do all of these things, when do I have time for painting sourdough bread? Right? Like where does that get in? And then by the time, we know, again, with human design, if we're using our energy in the wrong direction, by the time I get to the place where I've finally built the website and built the sales funnel and did all the Instagram stuff and the podcast, if I'm not using my energy in a way that's correct for me, I'm very likely going to be exhausted, right? Generators feeling dissatisfied and burned out because they've used their energy in the wrong way. Maybe a manifester is angry. Like, do we actually have the time for that and the energy for that? So again, at some point in the beginning of your business, you always have to bootstrap it. But it should be bootstrapping with the intention, unless you have money to invest. That's all I'll say. But it should be bootstrapping with the intention of eventually hiring people to do those jobs and do those positions. So, all of that being said, what I've learned, I've been on a team recently. So what made me really have this realization is that I was put onto a team in like the last so and so amount of time where the person had the ability to invest in their business. They had funding for their business. And as a result of having this funding upfront, they were able to hire the web designer, the virtual assistant, the this, right? The person who knows how to do funnels, the person who can produce the podcast. They were able to hire a whole crew of people because they were they had funding to be able to get started in doing that. And so what I saw from this was that when this person had all of these people that they were able to bring in and create a team, they could really stay in their zone of genius and spend their time doing their work and sharing their work with other people and creating relationships and getting out there. But I think when we are starting out and we're telling ourselves, I've got to be all of the pieces of the business without keeping an eye on how can I start out being all of the parts of the business and eventually move into having support, I think we do ourselves a disservice, especially like I didn't know because I was a speech therapist working at an office where arguably when I was a speech therapist, you had to do pretty much all aspects of the business, but billing, but you had to schedule and send reminders and be your own admin and your own therapist. And most people burned out. So that is my first lesson. If I had to impart wisdom on somebody who was going into business or becoming an entrepreneur, it would be business is a team sport. You are going to eventually want to hire people because if you're using your energy in the wrong way, you don't have time to do the thing you're amazing at. And I would say that that also flips into understanding that for you, you aren't here to be the whole business. You are here to be a piece of the business. I went to Nashville a couple weeks ago. Shout out to my friend Allison who owns Emogene and Co. Emogene and Co. Amazing skincare products. If you are looking for new skincare products, 10 out of 10 recommend. But I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame because you know your girl loves herself some country music. And what they had was a section with all of the country singers. Actually, it was their clothing, which was kind of funny, and like their songs that they had written on pieces of paper. And what they did was they had a whole display, like a display case, and it was all of the people behind the person you see on stage. So let's say it was Taylor Swift. You see Taylor Swift, and then they did it in bobbleheads. They had all these bobbleheads, and it was like her producer, her songwriters, her, unless she writes her own songs, I don't know, her PR person, her tour manager, her blah, 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 right? So when you see Taylor Swift on the big screen, when you see Marie Forleo on the big screen, when you see Tony Robbins, when you see whomever, like name Tim the Tool Man Taylor, shout out to my 90s babies, you are not seeing that person. You are seeing that person plus the product of all of the people around them on their team who have gotten them to where they are and supported them in getting to where they are. And I remember, I'll just say this, I'll move on to my next point. But I remember talking with or going to a conference a while back, and this guy who I followed and really loved, he was a mindset mentor. He said, he was like, the first thing I did was hire, and he pointed to his, the woman who he hired as his like CEO. He was like, because if I wanted to stay in my zone of genius, I needed somebody else who could manage all the other stuff. So that is my first point. Business is a team sport. So having a team doesn't have to be a huge team, could be a little team of people, but don't put the pressure on yourself to have to play every role in the business long term, because it's just not sustainable. And anybody that you idolize or appreciate who is like a big name and they are the quote talent is not just that talent. It's just like the same thing. Like, I'm going to use this example, but I don't necessarily like recommend this company, but like Pepsi, right? Is couldn't if Pepsi was a solo entrepreneur would never get to where it is today. So that's my thought on that. Insert another brand that you feel connected with. That's big. Next, you have a zone of genius. And so a lot of, actually a friend of mine, you might be listening to this. If you identify yourself in this story, you can reach out to me. Although I'm going to change some of the over bigger details, so I'm not going to say your name. But a friend of mine had was feeling like she hated her job. She didn't know what she wanted to do next. And so she started to get really into human design. And she was like, okay, I really love human design, so I guess I should start a human design business. And was like, I don't even like doing human design readings. Like, she loved it because it helped her understand herself and her husband and blah, blah, her kid. But she was like, I don't even want to do this. Like, this does not make me happy. And so for her, she realized that her zone of genius is like systems, organization, management, which I am awful at, personally speaking. But for her, like, that is her zone of genius. And so that was a really fruitful place for her. She ended up closing down her human design website and just focusing in on like what she loved and what her zone of genius is. So that way, going back to point one, is she could fit herself into a team. Again, it could be a large team, a small team, a business partnership, it could be anything. But she could find the role that really works with her energy. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you might be able to relate, but I think in the coaching space, we've kind of, or personal development, health, healing, wellness space, I think many of us have kind of felt like, oh, well, this is what I should do because these are the options. The only option is me leaping into being a coach or a human design reader or a Reiki healer or whatever. I just did this training, so that's the next logical step. But the truth of the matter is, if you've had a job or a career before starting, like if you love human design or you love intuition or you love whatever, it's very likely that there are things from your first career that really are you could bring into whatever you do next. And if you're saying to yourself, like, I'm a really amazing secretary, but you don't want to, and you love human design, but you don't want to be in a corporate space anymore, what an amazing gift that you yourself can bring into maybe a more forward-thinking company, maybe a more personal purpose-driven company, that you could bring your secretarial skills and you understand human design and you can understand how different people operate and work. Like, what a freaking gift, right? So letting ourselves get creative in that your zone of genius may not look like the trainings you've been pursuing. It may look like a conglomerate, I don't know if that's the right word, conglomeration of all of the things that you've been learning. You know what I mean? So that's what I want to say about that. It might be gifts and skills that you have. Like, for me, it's so funny. Like, with my children's book, I really like sat down and wrote it and then had it edited and stuff. But like, I don't know. I'm good at writing. I've been good at writing. Sometimes I'm a long writer or a little wordy, but writing brings me joy and I'm very driven internally to seek out learning how to improve my writing and write in different ways and explore writing. And now I'm doing copywriting. Do I want to be a full-time author? I mean, that would be pretty cool, but no one really makes all that much money by being a full-time author. Some people probably do, but they're oftentimes having a book is a portion of what they do. And maybe if you're like Judy Blume or something, you probably there's certainly full-time authors, I'm sure. But a lot of times people use books as a portion of what they do. So all of that being said, I said, okay, well, I love this skill. I'm going to bring it in. I like guiding people back into their own bodies. That gets me excited. I love listening to people and guiding them to listen to what their body's trying to tell them, because so many of us are disconnected. But I don't really like coaching on mindset. That doesn't feel exciting or fun for me. It's not natural for me. I could probably learn it, but I'm not just going to go become a mindset coach because that seems like it's the only answer. And mindset coaching is beautiful, but I'm just saying, like, we have to let ourselves get a bit creative, I personally believe. On the pursuit of finding our zone of genius. And this is, I think, where we're headed, is being much more creative in how we work and how we put ourselves together in different formations and create different kinds of businesses. And you might not have to manage it. I love that for certain clients that I copyright for, there's tasks, I write it, I send it in, I can be in my nonverbal creative flow, and then I go, right? And I'm like, okay, perfect. I delivered what I needed to deliver. And then I can come do my podcast. I can do my Substack and write to you guys. I can host my classes, which teaching and facilitating connection lights me up. So it's just about coloring outside of the box and redefining, I think, even what our definition of work and success in work means. Okay. This takes me to my next point, which is that most things look shiny on the surface, but aren't. I said this on the podcast with Jenny the other day, or something to this effect, that when I started my training in like marketing and copywriting, I'm learning so much about the psychology of marketing and how our minds think. And so even in the training I'm doing, she was talking about there's certain tactics in a place you wouldn't even expect that get you to purchase certain items on the get you to purchase certain items. And that is restaurant menus. I bet you wouldn't know that psychologically there's something going on a restaurant menu. I don't know that all restaurants use this, but many of them will place certain very expensive items next to items that are higher than the average price in order for you to go like, okay, so if most pasta dishes are $30, and then there's a pasta dish that's $44 that has lobster in it, they might place next to it a block that's like champagne. This bottle of champagne is like $100 for two, a special, right? And then suddenly your mind goes, well, $44 isn't that bad. And so I think what we have to recognize and realize is that in the real world, when you look at a business, you're getting the best, shiniest aspects of that business, right? Even when you look at like Tony Robbins and you see his business, like you're getting the aspects of Tony Robbins that he's turned into a business. But we don't know what it looks like on the back end, because at the end of the day, behind every single business is a group of humans. And what do we know about humans? We are flawed. We are lovely, we are amazing, and we are flawed. It's just a part of being human. And so I think that we have to allow ourselves to, you know, lean into the fact that we can't compare ourselves to anyone else's business because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right? We get shown selectively what goes on behind the scenes. And that goes for any business, right? Like there's certain things that I'm going through in my life right now that I'm not gonna necessarily show everyone out there, but we can't compare ourselves to snippets of what's happening in somebody else's world and somebody else's reality, or compare ourselves to the pretty shiny picture that a business is putting out in front, but not necessarily showing us the full back end spectrum of what's going on. And I will say this too, like I've talked to people over the last like year or two who have worked for even like people in like the wellness and coaching, holistic healing space that are like, yeah, there's a lot of challenges behind the scenes in that business. But that's life, you know, like that is life. Like we are constantly bumping into things in order to evolve. But I just want you to know that most things that look a certain way aren't always that way, because we need to have friction in order to grow. So if you're seeking perfection, which I know I used to seek perfection, I thought, oh, once I achieve this or attain that or get my intuition honed in enough, then I'll be able to be perfect and be happy. No, that's just not life. So even the people that you idolize and you think are amazing are going through their own things. And I'll just put this in here. Hashtag 90s baby reference. I loved Boy Meets World growing up. Like loved, 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 loved Boy Meets World. If you also love Boy Meets World, give me a little whoop whoop, even though I can't hear you. I hope most of you just whoop whooped in your cars or on your walk. But I loved Boy Meets World. And they recently released a podcast, and I loved Brotherly Love. And like Britney Spears, right? Like all these 90s things. And what's starting to happen all of these years later, they're doing these podcasts. They're talking about the challenges. They're talking about messed up things that happened in Hollywood at that time. They're talking about their insecurities. I remember the very first episode, one of the first episodes of Pod Meets World, they were talking about, they're like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen from us like watching the show again. Like they were having feelings of embarrassment or shame come up. And it's like, right, you get older, you evolve, you grow, but nothing is as shiny as it looks on the outside. Everything has flaws. Everything is growing. We are human. So don't compare yourself to something that is not real, which is the perfect story your mind is making up in your head to compare you to it, to then ultimately not feel good about yourself. Okay, that is point number three, which leads me beautifully into many of you know with my next point, which I wrote out and it's a note and it doesn't make sense, but oh, here it is. I rewrote it underneath it. Business has seasons, cycles, and phases. We are all always evolving. We are never just one thing. We are constantly evolving and growing. And many of you may know, and if you go back in my Substacks, you can find this. I did something called the Entrepreneurial Scales of Development. And I talk about how business has seasons and cycles and phases, and that we go through these seasons and cycles. And so it's normal for you to go through a growth phase and then a death phase and then a plateau and then, times when you're raking it in and things are good. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stays stagnant. You know, everything is always evolving. Life is always giving birth to new life. And so therefore, we have to give ourselves space to grow, and we have to give ourselves space to also honor the phase of development that we're in. Because even, you might have a ton of money to invest in your business, right? You might have funding, but you're still in those beginning stages of business where you have to learn certain lessons and run into and encounter certain challenges because you've never been in that space before, potentially, right? Versus someone who's 10 years down the line, who may have a different perspective in the same industry, who may have a different perspective and have worked out the kinks. So, things grow, things evolve. And I think we as humans, like coming back to the nature example, we watch it in nature, right? We may want it to be, if you live in the Northeast, you may want it to be summertime when it's the dead of winter, but summertime's not come until June. You know, you may have a day or two, like a poke through, but full-blown summer, like that season is not coming until it comes. And sometimes those seasons are very short. For some of us, right? We might be in that startup new phase for a short period of time, but some seasons are longer than others. You know, think about this season in Florida has been one of the rainiest, dreariest winters in Florida in a long time. It's been cool, right? So it's different. It might last a little bit. If it actually feels like it's been cooler longer than it was last year. We have to honor where we are and learn the lessons that come with that season, right? Because if I'm pissed that it's spring and I'm like, I'm not planting crops because it's, spring and I don't want to have to clean up the leaves. I don't do like it's still going to be spring. It's just we might not experience the same growth a few months later in the summertime. And then sometimes conditions outside of us teach us, they challenge us. And we end up growing in ways we didn't expect. So honor the season you're in and it's not about honoring it and being like, I can't do anything about this. This sucks. It's actually about making the most of the season, right? I could sit inside and be like, it sucks. It's been cold in Florida, which I actually love. But maybe last year I was like, it's so hot. I hate this. I'm so mad. Well, what can I do in the heat of the winter that I can't do when it's, 70 degrees outside? How can I harness the season I'm in and use it and make the most of it in the same way that, and I was talking about in a
earlier podcast episode, like the season I was in with my business last year was like a death cycle. I was in deep winter, but I used it to really get to know myself and ask myself questions and learn about myself. So that's point four. Point five is, I want to end with this. Building trust and building relationships takes time. So whether that is building trust in yourself and your new skills, I've had experiences with copywriting where it's like very new for me to write for, well, it's not very new for me to write for other people, but it's what I'll say is it's vulnerable to write for people in this way. I've been writing for years. I've written my book. I've written my sales pages. I've written my blogs. I've written, I've helped other people write their stuff as well. But even in copywriting, I'm having to remember that it takes trust to, or it takes time for me to even build trust within myself of like, okay, you know, it's okay to feel this feeling. Like maybe shame popped up because somebody didn't like the work I did or something like that. Like it takes time to go like, I know I can do this and I've still got this and I can keep moving forward. And maybe a little bit of shame popped up, but over time you learn and you grow through the seasons. And you become, right? It's like that Velveteen Rabbit quote, which I'll look up and I'll read to you here in a second. But it takes time to build trust with your audience. You know, it's let's see, Velveteen Rabbit. Here we go. I'll read you the quote. But it takes time to build trust with your audience. And we're finding too in like the marketing space that it takes longer for people to get from the place of you know, first having contact with somebody to build trust to move into, you know, paid offer or whatever it may be. And it takes, you know, time to, and I'm saying time is the thing. It's just, it's life. Like thing, we have to keep showing up and keep, you know, showing ourselves. It takes time in a job to feel connected and build trust in that type of space, right? If we're working within a team. So giving yourself that space and that grace as well to go like, okay, I'm evolving, I'm growing, I'm learning, I'm building trust with my audience, I'm building trust with myself, I'm seeing what works, I'm seeing what doesn't work. But we have to keep showing up because it's, as my friend Alex said in her TED Talk, it's not time that does stuff, it's that we do stuff over time. Right? So it's not that the time is what's going to make it easier. It's you showing up over time and building that trust with yourself, building that trust with your audience, etc. And I'll read you the Velveteen Rabbit quote. He says, "You become, it takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes droop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand." Hashtag crying from the Velveteen Rabbit. But here's what I will say about this. When you start to think about it, also with biohacking, you don't have to get shabby with your eyes drooping out. Although he is literally referencing a Velveteen fake rabbit. Okay, this is how my brain works. So welcome to the insides of my brain. But with that being said, you know, we have to give ourselves space and grace and keep showing up and also ask ourselves those questions like what's working, what isn't, why do I feel uncomfortable in this space? You know, like I said last year, I was like, I really believe in everything I'm saying and I know everything I'm saying is true. And it's not always the sexy thing that other people are saying. And sometimes people don't get it, right? And, that's fine. And I have to be okay with that. But I believe it and I know it's true. So, you know, there've been times where I've been in that doubt and I've just been like, is there a point? Why am I continuing to show up in this space? But it's like, then the deeper question is like, yeah, what is the point? And are you going to choose to show up and be in that message and be in that space of maybe people not fully understanding you, but you knowing deep inside of yourself that what you believe and what you know is true. Again, even if it's not the most popular opinion. So that's my thought on that. And then what I want to share is understanding the role that you play in business. When we start to really understand our design and harness it, and follow our intuition in alignment with our design, that's where some really powerful things start to happen, where we can understand, like, as an example, we're going to be in the work self-study program, which I just want to say this. One of the things I love about my programs is the community, because people really, really bond with each other. And I just think that's really cool. So if you're really looking for a place where you can come and you can talk about these things and be vulnerable and be open and, like, share and get reflections from people, especially if you feel like in your day-to-day life, like, some other people might not fully understand why you feel the way you feel, I'd encourage you to at least check the program out. There is a payment plan as well, that you can check out. But yeah, I don't know. I love this community, and it's pretty incredible what our group is able to do for each other. So if it calls to you, I'd love to have you. But like, even just as an example, when I really started to learn and understand that one of the reasons I was feeling so much pain in the entrepreneurial space was because I really, like, I love small business collaboration. You know, the prosperity sequence really opened my eyes to the idea that I can work in a space with 3 to 15 people and feel a different level of success than I would feel in the solo entrepreneur space. And that's why I wasn't feeling good for me. Also understanding that, you know, my gift in the entrepreneur space, well, I'll say this, one of my shadows was competition. You know, the shadow of competition is one of the things that holds back in my prosperity sequence, my own version, like my own genius. And I can tell you what, competition has been one of the biggest challenges for me. Competition and comparison, like, okay, I don't have to be like that other person. And, you know, like I was saying, I'm in this space. I feel like I'm sharing this message. I believe in it. Once people come into this work, they start to see that, you know, like, okay, yeah, maybe this is an alternative truth or a bit of a different truth, but it resonates for me. And I'm starting to find more fulfillment in my work and in my life as a result of maybe not following the mainstream, maybe doing things differently, maybe letting myself get creative and kind of, it's not about breaking the rules. It's about understanding that you get to create your own rules within a certain space, right? Can't get totally reckless and make our own rules and get ourselves into massive trouble. But like, you are the one who is dictating the direction of your life. So when I started to see that, I was like, I feel sometimes like I'm yelling into the void, or I don't feel like people are hearing what I'm saying because maybe the mainstream way of doing things looks sexier. You know, that would come up for me. I'd be like, I can't compete with this. You know, I can't compete in this space with this. You know, that felt frustrating to me. But at the end of the day, once I learned, like, that is my wound, but it's also the very thing I'm here to overcome and to follow my own intuition and be okay, maybe upsetting some people, or, you know, the Gene Key 51, like having that essence of shock. People might not get it and I may upset them, but that's okay, you know, and that I can't succumb to trying to do it someone else's way just in order to think I'll, quote, be successful or be able to keep up in that way. And so these are the kinds of things we start to learn as we start to work with our prosperity sequence. And for me, my, you know, my part of mine is that the line two is like marketing and sharing my voice and being creative and being in flow. And okay, once I know those things, now I can start to plan. Okay, if I'm going to have my own business, how can I create a little team that it feels amazing to be on without having to manage and guide people? Because I don't really enjoy that. I can collaborate with them, but I don't necessarily want to manage them. If I'm going to be on someone else's team that I really believe in, who's doing something different and unique, what role do I want to play in that? And what does that look like? You know, if I'm not going to necessarily go into a corporate space or be an influencer or be whatever, like, what does my path look like? And then I can start to create it, right? And I can start to move down it, and I start to see, like, oh, okay, you know, for me as a fourth line, I started to realize that moving around was not serving me. It was fun in a lot of ways, but now I'm creating community here in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm teaching human design classes all over Fort Lauderdale, Delray, like making creating relationships with people. It's been very cool, you know, and my path doesn't look linear, but that feels good to me. And so I think at the end of the day, we want to feel fulfilled by our work. We want to feel as though our work has meaning. And so that to me is what this work program is all about. It's not about climbing to the mountaintop and getting on top because you want the reward of being seen or being validated, and having our self-worth validated, because that's what we've been taught to build our self-worth on in school. I have to be the best. I have to be the valedictorian. I have to be right. Those things have high praise and high accolades. But if you don't do those things, or, you know, then you don't get as much, you don't get money, a money reward to go to school. You don't get this reward and that reward. This is about moving from external validation to internal fulfillment and meaning, and creating prosperity for ourselves in that way, because true prosperity is financial. And it's also so much more than that, meaning, fulfillment, all these things that you couldn't possibly put money on. So that is what we're going to do in work. We're coming together as a community. We're going to do some self-study. We're going to learn about ourselves. We're going to learn about our design. And then we are going to support each other. We're going to get clear on our action steps. You might come in here thinking like, oh, I have to be a human design reader, and then come out being like, actually, I really love working with teams. I'm a projector. I love guiding teams, but I actually feel a lot more called to be a part of a company that does team building and bringing human design into it. And what do you know? Because I started to actually tune into my truth. Now, instead of me trying to pursue starting this solopreneur business online, I'm actually just going to start putting myself out there in seeing if there's companies that might be looking for someone who does human design. And who do I know in my, and maybe you do sound healing and human design and something else. Like, where might I actually get to start doing this in corporate or with small businesses or whatever? I don't know. Maybe you want to open a coffee shop or work at a coffee shop. Like, who knows? So my intention with this program is to bring you back home to yourself, to listen to yourself, to follow your truth, to trust yourself, and to not worry about what anyone else says you should do. If anybody else thinks what you're doing is successful, and just come back home to you, so that you can live your life in a way that is meaningful and fulfilling to you and prosperous. Okay, check the link in my bio, or you can go to www.jessbubbaco.com/work. That is where you will find all the information. Early bird closes on Friday the 8th. There's a little bonus class in there on money wounds, not to be like, overcome your money wounds and make all the money in the world, though that may happen for you. This is actually about being able to understand your patterning in your own DNA, so that way when you meet it, you can overcome it, and then you can keep moving forward and keep creating that abundance for yourself. Okay, that's all. Make it a great day, y'all. I'll see you back here on the next episode of the podcast. Hey, hey, thanks so much for being here and listening to this episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast. If you liked today's episode, I'm going to ask you to do one of three things. Number one, leave a rating. Number two, leave a review. And number three, if you think it could help a friend out in need, go ahead and send it to them. I greatly appreciate your support. When you rate the podcast or leave a review, it helps other awesome and amazing listeners such as yourself find the podcast. And I love people, and I love friends, and I love people's friends. So being able to spread the love through your network is another really great way to support people and to support the show. All right, y'all, make it a great day, and I will see you back here on the next episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast.